The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Chuck Oliver Show rolling through hour two on a Thursday. That's right. And we got a Georgia Tech spring game. I was talking a little bit about the big picture of the Georgia Tech program. We got a Georgia Tech spring game tomorrow early evening. Roddy Jones, who works for the ACC Network and who knows a whole lot about Georgia Tech and, of course, the ACC and what they're up against. Roddy Jones, a good friend of ours, he is going to come in bottom of the hour. Always appreciate him coming in, just like Tyler McComas from Sports Talk 1400 in Norman, Oklahoma, previewing OU and all the comings and going with that program. Man, so many big-time players. You know, the portal door, it doesn't just swing one way. And we talked about Charleston Rambo leaving, and he's as big a recruit as anybody who shows up there, like Hazelwood, Jaden Hazelwood's got like one more season to look around and go, all right, what am I going to make of my career? Because Mario Williams is the new five-star who has showed up. And here's the funny thing, that at one point what Hollywood Brown was, what C.D. Lamb was, what Charleston Rambo was, Hazelwood, all of them, every last one of them, they showed up as they were the early enrollee freshman with five stars that the junior looked at and went, huh. There is a thought, and I always get the names mixed up with Christian Fulton. Christian Fulton went in the draft a year ago, correct? Yes. Did Cordell Flott opt out of the season? I think that's right.
No, he played did not play well.
All right, well, dadgummit. So many corners. Kerry Vincent. Thank you, Kerry Vincent. I knew I would get to him eventually. He was a guy who looked around and was like, I may opt out this year because I'm concerned about the virus. And again, what we talked about on this air, someone in Baton Rouge who knows more than me said, my understanding is Kerry Vincent looked at the depth chart, looked at early enrollee, and realized, yeah, I'm going to play less in my final year than I did in my second. That is not the way to vault your way into the NFL. And he's like, maybe I will take the year off. And so he opted out. It was Kerry Vincent, exactly, at least by general understanding how that unfolded. So it has really changed. Again, we're talking about portals and guys coming and going. You see at Oklahoma, it's not in the secondary necessarily. It has been at wide receiver. And so Mario Williams shows up, and Charleston Rambo's already gone, and Jaden Hazelwood, he looks around, he's thinking, I was just that guy running off somebody else, and I have this coming season to establish myself for the NFL, or I need to go play somewhere as a gun for hire one season, hopefully catch a ton of passes, and then go to the NFL. That's what it is now, man. So we will continue to talk about all of that. But right now, we'll get you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football every single day. This is CFB 365, presented by Ecoderm. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now for your free sample of Ecoderm pain relief cream and CBD from Frank Thomas. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now.
The SWAC being proactive. Thumbs up to them. Headline, SWAC moving championship game to neutral site in Jackson, Mississippi. Based out of Birmingham, Alabama, the Southwestern Athletic Conference is moving its championship football game to a neutral site. It is supposed to be played on the campus of the highest-ranked team. The game has already been determined. It's going to be May 1st. Alabama A&M, Arkansas Pine Bluff.
It's going to be played at Veterans Memorial Stadium in Jackson, Mississippi. Perfectly fine place to play a football game. Again, it was supposed to be by conference bylaws and you know policy, campus of the highest-ranked team. I'll give them credit. Commissioner Dr. Charles McClellan said the league made the move because of COVID cancellations that had directly affected both teams. He said the canceled games would have helped them determine a host school using his tiebreaker policy. He says without having the – this is so – don't you want to do the simple stuff sometimes? Like, yeah, let's just make the easy decision here. Without having the ability to thoroughly evaluate both teams using that policy, we felt the only fair and equitable decision that could be made was to move the game to a neutral site location. And so they're doing the fair and reasonable thing. Good for them. Headline. This is big. Arkansas governor signs state's name, image, likeness legislation. What? Arkansas's governor has signed the state's name, image, likeness legislation, which will go into effect January 1, 2022. So what is that, like 7 months and a week? Now, that's all well and good for our, the state of Arkansas, and I mean that because now you got something on the books. We all saw Schoolhouse Rock, right? We know how it happens. Bill became a law. January 1st, 2022. Florida, Mississippi, and Alabama, they got their own laws. They go into effect July 1st. Cruton. The state of Georgia has its own bill that has not been signed by the governor yet, but they're proceeding down that path. Come to Auburn or Alabama or Mississippi. Come to Mississippi State. Come to Southern Miss. Come to UF, Florida State, etc. And if you go to the mall and the owner of the local athlete's foot says, hey, you like these Jordans? Tweet out a picture of you trying on the new Jordans at the Oaks Mall Foot Locker. Is Foot Locker still in business? Okay. The Oaks Mall Foot Locker. And kid from 300 miles away, didn't have a lot of money, but he's on scholarship, says, yeah, I'll try on these Jordans. Snap a picture. Boom. You got free Jordans. Or a pizza. Or a U-Haul rental. To move from one apartment to the other. It's available now, man. It's going to make, even for the entry level of, quote, famous athletes at Florida Atlantic, even for those kids, there's going to be something out there. So, harmless, and businesses want to do it, and so there you go. Consider yourself up to date. We're going to take a quick break. Come back with more college football next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Now back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
All week, all year, you know what it is on the Chuck Oliver Show. Roddy Jones coming up in about 15 minutes from right now. And I hope in 7 days, I told you what's happening in about 15 minutes, 7 days from now, I hope there's an SEC storyline that goes away. I think it would actually take at least 8.5 months for it to go away, but there's a chance in 7 days it goes away. Maybe Justin Fields no longer being a college quarterback will finally end any amount of lingering Kirby screwed that up thought from the UGA fan base. I don't believe Kirby was wrong in how he handled the quarterback depth chart in 2018. It was 18 was the Fields year, right? Yeah, the 1 year there. I don't believe he was wrong in how he handled the depth chart that year. I understand every reason he had, and they are all granite. You want to talk about setting yourself up? Now, first of all, for a rougher season than you had, because 2018, let me try to remember that. Was that an SEC championship game lost to Alabama?
That was the fake punt.
Oh, heavens, that's right. And that was actually Jalen Hurts this time flipping the script and relieving Tua. Okay, I was there that night. I remember. So here's what you had in 2018. You had a Georgia team that came back. They had a bad Saturday afternoon in Baton Rouge. Was that their only loss in the regular season?
It was, and oddly enough, it was another special team snafu.
And it was, yeah, the fake field goal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm remembering now because, honestly, this is what I'm saying. It's not like I got brain fog or anything. I'm saying that there has been so much success in so many big games and SEC championship games among them with Kirby that I now just placed the post-game press conference. If you want to hear a singer – just, I mean, anguish in his voice. There's a band called The Band. I don't know if you ever, Levon Helm, Robbie Robertson. They have a song called It Makes No Difference. Go listen to it. All right. Now I'm going to tell you, listen to it outside during the day in some sunshine. This is not, I'm feeling a little blue. I mean, anguish in this guy's voice. That whole song is just tremendous, tremendous track. I walked into the post-game press conference because you got to make a choice there, and I never liked this. You either have to choose, like, winner's locker room or loser's press conference because the losers come to the whoever didn't win comes to the press conference area first. Well, the better sound in there, and honestly, locker rooms stink. And I mean, I'm not even talking, like, from the, odiferous. I'm saying they don't want you in there. You don't want to be in there. The sound is crap. It's whatever. So I go to the press conference, and at least for the losing head coach in the SEC championship game, I walked in. I was the only media member there. Walked right up, sat in front row, and I think he brought in Sony and Nick Chubb. Folks, I mean the anguish in his voice. Kirby Smart, he said, I wanted it so desperately for these kids. I wanted it so... After the national championship game, seeing him sit up there, he's like, I wanted it so much. That actually was the post-game press conference there. 18, it was the same sort of thing. In fact, that's actually kind of making my point there. You're going through that game, that loss. It's been more times than one, and every time Kirby is up there, and it is just pure anguish. Imagine if he would have handled that two deep differently at the 2018 season and he had a returning starter at quarterback who had just led the team to the national championship game. And Kirby's like, hey, guys, I've got something new figured out because I'm smarter than everybody else. I'm going to turn this bunch over to a true freshman quarterback. Would they have had a better regular season? I don't think they would have gone because the better regular – like – they would have had to go 11-1 to pull even. Now, if you want to say, well, we're at a championship or bust standpoint, that's where you want to be, you get to choose that. If you're a Georgia fan, you're not there. I can't say that. I'm not a Georgia fan. You are. If that's where you are, you get to rock on, man. I got a buddy of mine. I'll say David Welsh, biggest Alabama fan I know. He is at the – it's a championship program, man. It's not a second place. It's not an 11-1 or a 10-2. He's like, those are all great seasons. We're about titles. And I appreciate the transparency. So if he would have handled that differently, he had a returning starter who led you to a national championship game as a true freshman. Was he dynamic? Not necessarily. Did he have the same skills? No. Will he be drafted third, fourth, fifth overall? Justin Fields will. Jake Fromm was he a fourth round pick or fifth round pick? So I know every reason he had. Rock solid, Gibraltar, granite, all of it. I don't believe he was wrong in what he did. I also don't think he would do it that way again. He has learned that a quarterback who can stone cold stunner a defense, no matter who that defense is, hey, Clemson, talking to you, that's the guy you go with regardless of returning starter, leadership, experience, this, that, and the third. Kirby, you could defend it in court. You know what this is? This is you bring in the lefty and the lefty goes yard anyway. That's what this is. We're going to bring in our right-hander out of the pen and Mike Trout still flattens a baseball. Hey, I went with the numbers, folks. I did what you see. For these reasons, it backs it up. Why was Jake Fromm the starting quarterback in 2017? Because Jacob Eason got hurt. And then Jake Fromm took full advantage and played really good football. Because if that wasn't the full answer, well, he just got the job because the other guy got hurt. No. He got the opportunity. And then after, I will say, 3 or 4 weeks. Now, again, I'm just reporting back what I was told. This is now 4 years ago, man. That Jacob Eason could have come back and played and maybe been sore or limited, but he could have played, and then even he could got to the point where after like a month he could have started. We're going to give him an extra week because we just want to make sure he gets all the way. He's a quarterback, and we don't want him, you know, coming off the injury, et cetera, so we're going to be cautious. And then I remember Kirby declared, brother. He declared. You go look at that schedule, and I'm trying to remember, make sure here. I don't have it in front of me. I could have, but I'm going to get this right. They played Missouri. And then it was the bye week, and then it was the Gators. And the Missouri game was where Jacob Eason was supposed to play. But Kirby spent a lot of time talking about when coaches get things wrong, especially when they get things wrong with the quarterback. Kirby resisted the temptation to start giving Jacob Eason playing time, to muddy the waters. I mean, even one drop, boom. He wouldn't do it at all. And especially that Missouri game leading to a full bye week and then full Florida week. Do you know about the last thing Kirby was going to do? Put Jacob Eason in to play the fourth quarter against Missouri. Let him go like 9 of 13 for 3 touchdowns and 176 yards. Woo! That whole bye week and then leading up to Jacksonville? Uh-uh. He declared. And he handled it correctly. He did. They lose to Auburn and then come back and drop a sack of bricks on Auburn in the SEC title game. A signature, not the signature play, but a signature play for the program out there, Sony, in Pasadena. And then second 26 and all that came before that. He made the right choice. Coming off all of that Jake Fromm, and by the way, well, he was just along for the ride. There was a play just before halftime in that Rose Bowl where he escaped a sack and made a big, big play. There were other hidden plays. This was not Justin Fields. Like I just said, woo, Justin Fields against Clemson. I don't know that in 17, Jake Fromm had a single Saturday where, woo, you see Fromm? I don't think. He had plays, though. And if you don't remember what I'm just I think it was right before. Didn't it lead to a field goal, a Rodrigo field goal? That, I mean, that game, you put your thumb and finger about a half inch apart. That's how close that game was to being over.
Yeah, it was kind of like a weird squib kick that didn't squib. It went right into their front line.
And Georgia had a couple of snaps, and it turned it into a field. I'm telling you, right before halftime, they got 10 points, didn't they? He made plays. So Kirby made the right decision, and Fields getting drafted in the top 5 unfortunately won't end this story. That would have to happen in January with a national championship.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
I was talking earlier in the program that there are, for most programs, there are two categories. You're either trying to get ahead or you're trying just to keep up. Facilities-wise, I will go back in time, Halloween night, 1987, and I am at the Auburn, Florida game. Nightmare Jordan-Hare. Beat the dog at him that night. And post-game, I'm interviewing a guy named Kerwin Bell, who played quarterback for Florida. He's a really good quarterback, made the pros for a minute. And so I'm in the visitor's locker room, and I'm looking around, and I had not been in there. And it's literally cinder block, board, nail, and I'm standing there as a 19-year-old, and I'm thinking, I see the staph infection in here, because nobody had facilities if you go back to 1987. Well, then things started to change, and there started to be some separation, and Georgia Tech, it's changing now, but for more than a minute, they weren't really the most super-duper when it came to facilities. Like I said, you can choose to pursue that. You can choose to try to be, we're getting ahead. You can't choose the success, but you can choose the route. Want to welcome on now, guy who knows all about it at Georgia Tech from the ACC Network. It is Roddy Jones. Roddy, what up, man?
What's going on, Chuck? How are you?
Doing all right. Let's go back to your Cruton visit down on the flats. It was not as good as it is now, but it's also not as good as it's going to be with Todd Stansberry and Jeff Collins, et cetera. Just talk about facilities when you were being recruiting and how quickly it changed over the course of the next 10 or so years, basically what was required.
Yeah, I think I was kind of at the time where it became important. Like, Nebraska had already built their massive weight room. Alabama was on the cusp of building theirs. But very few schools had indoor facilities. That happened while I was in college. Very few schools had these dedicated, even dedicated weight rooms, like football-only weight rooms. It wasn't typically the case going back to when I was getting recruited in 05, 06. And then you talk about the other sports-specific facilities, like nutrition bars. That wasn't even allowed by the NCAA.
Oh, you couldn't feed you on weekends.
Exactly. Until they said, hey, you can feed them as much as you want. So none of that stuff was around. But as I was in college, that stuff sort of started to change. Now, Oregon was kind of on the cutting edge at that time. As I said, Nebraska had built out their weight room. But since I've been in school and gotten out, it's become really important. And you see what Georgia Tech has done with their fundraising campaign. Virginia yep. Tech just announced a $400 million goal to revamp their athletic facilities. So it is huge. And the teams that are announcing accomplishing these goals now, and I'll include both Techs that I just mentioned, are behind. They're playing catch-up. And honestly, this is an arms race, so if you're playing catch-up, you either have to overshoot, kind of like Northwestern did, and try and get out ahead of where everybody's going, or you're going to continue to try and have to raise money to build up your facilities, because it's not slowing down anytime soon.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember the year. It might have been 03 or it was an odd number year, but whatever. The Georgia game was in Atlanta, and it was a night game, and it was really cold. And post-game, I'm in the visitor's locker room. The visitor's press conference area, and they told me it was the weight room at Georgia Tech. And I looked around. I was like, this is not a collegiate weight room, not for a football team. And they're like, no, it's not for the football team. Like, a lot of sports use this. Talk about where it is now, though, because it has been getting better. It has changed, and that's substantive.
Yeah, so they revamped the weight room. It's a completely new weight room. The visitors' locker room setup has not changed, which I don't think they're anxious to change that. Like, there's not a lot of schools that are going to invest money in the visitors' locker room. But the visitors' locker room is just off the weight room. It used to be the green room where we would do a lot of drills and stuff. Now they changed the colors of it. But the weight room has improved. Basketball, men and women's, have also got their own facility. Volleyball uses that facility. Baseball has their own weight room now with all the money that they've raised and what they've done. And there's some other sports that have some sports-specific stuff. It's still – the main weight room is still a multi-sport weight room, but it has improved so much from when I was there in terms of its usability, in terms of its equipment, and its overall look, to be completely honest with you. So they've done an excellent job. They redid that around the same time they redid the team meeting room and some of the meeting rooms downstairs in the Edge building. But that whole Edge building, where the athletics facilities are held, where the athletic offices are held, is getting redone in the next, I think, 5 or so years.
Okay, I'm going to say this publicly. We're on the radio, and I bet I'm not the only person this is true. Roddy, I have never a single time walked into that building to go meet somebody and not got lost.
Yeah.
There are more ramps and dead ends. I mean, it's like that hallway in Willy Wonka. It is a confusing building to me. Do you have that experience ever?
Oh, my goodness. Not anymore, because I know the shortcuts, although they change them on me every once in a while. But there's times where you're standing below where you want to go. Like, you can look up and see where you want to go.
Yes.
And the stairway that's closest to you or the elevator that's closest to you won't take you there. So you got to go around this hallway, back around this office, up these stairs, and then back across to be able to get there. It was piecemeal together, and that's kind of what you get when that happens.
Yeah, I always look up. I'm like, there's a hidden camera, and they think I'm a mouse. All right, well, let's talk about on field. Jeff Sims, year two, it has to be better because quarterbacks taking reps, they get better. Tell me what you think the blue sky is for him as just a second-year player.
I think the things that he's going to need to improve is mostly consistency, and that's consistency with footwork, which leads consistency to accuracy, consistency with reads, and I think he's getting more comfortable. Now, I've been out to a practice. I've seen him a little bit, obviously, on the videos and stuff that they put out. There's only so much that you can get from a spring practice or even watching a couple of spring practices, but it seems that he feels more comfortable. He's looked more decisive. The coaches have said he's been more decisive, especially when progressing through his reads and getting to his check down. So I would expect him to take a legitimate step forward. There's not a lot of data, and there's not a lot of examples of true freshmen starting early in their true freshman year or their entire true freshman season that don't turn into Trevor Lawrence, Sam Howell, the ones that you hear about consistently. Now, I'm not saying Jeff Sims is going to be that, but I think he'll be better than like James Blackman, who had the same situation at Florida State. So I think he takes a step forward. The surrounding cast has gotten better, so that certainly makes a quarterback look better as well.
All right, I'm not saying it's easy to throw a 40 or a deep pass or so, but it's attainable because you don't have to be that accurate on deep passes. You throw to a good area, and then the receiver can adjust and et cetera. So you understand that. Jeff Sims actually got less accurate, and I mean, his deep passes, anything more than like 10 yards, certainly 20, it was a dice roll last year, and that kind of goes the opposite. We've seen guys that are not necessarily great pocket passers, but they got something on the deep passes. He was the opposite last year.
Yeah, and I think a good example of that was Sam Howell his freshman year. He was inconsistent in his accuracy short, but he's such a good deep ball thrower that it didn't matter. Like, he could erase mistakes that he made or his team made early in downs just by being a good deep ball thrower. You could say the same thing about Malik Cunningham at Louisville. his first year of Scott Satterfield. So it was sort of the same deal. Jeff Sims, I think some of that probably has to do with his arm angle, the way he throws the ball. You know, he kind of has a sort of three-quarter delivery, a little bit more short arm than those guys. So I think that would make it harder to control on the deep ball. But according to the coaches, it comes back to footwork. It comes back to getting the ball out on time. But there is a measure of, hey, when you're throwing a deep ball at the sideline, keep the ball in play. Give your receiver a chance. And that is something that he's certainly going to have to get better at.
All right, I only got one question for the defense because there's really only one way you play defense in 2021. You hit the quarterback, and Georgia Tech has had an awful time getting to the quarterback. I will say that if I just look on a sheet of paper, they've got names and numbers, and they've got like grown men there at both spots and a lot of them. Do you expect their pass rush will actually be better this year?
Yeah, I think it'll be better. Now, does that mean it'll be good? I don't know. Now, they are really excited about Kevin Harris, the transfer from Alabama.
Yeah.
A young guy who was from the area, was from Loganville, and then transferred back. They're really excited about a guy like Jared Ivey, who's 6'6", is really long. They're excited about Sylvain Jouin, the Belgian who was hurt for most of last season, didn't get to play a lot. But, Chuck, you know, until you see it on the field, you just don't know. So
I got excited about Antonius Clayton last year. I got really excited about Antonius Clayton. I was like, wait a minute, he ain't playing.
Right, exactly. And you know, according to the coaches, he's looked great in spring practice. But, look, I don't know. I think it'll be better. Will it be consistent enough to affect the quarterback with four or five? I don't know. I think they're going to probably have to manufacture pressure like they did last year, if I had to guess. But if they can win a little bit, that's more than they won a year ago.
That's true. And we talk about just that general concept because, you said the same thing but in a different way. You ain't going to win by dialing up coverage. And you said they got to win by sending four or five. Roddy, extrapolate that out because if you don't get there with four, you have to send a fifth. If you don't get there with a fifth, you got to send a sixth. I mean, if you let a quarterback sit in the pocket, you're going to lose.
Yeah, especially in the division. I mean, look at who you're facing. Sam Howell at North Carolina. You've got Derek King at Florida. You've got just up and down Braxton Burmeister at Virginia Tech.
Pickett.
They said there was a great deep ball. Kenny Pickett at Pitt, who, by the way, has been there 5 years.
Yes,
and I
he
think
has.
Going to take a huge step. So those quarterbacks are going to pick you apart if you sit back. And you're right. Like I think if you look at what Pitt did last year and you look at how they got their guys in one-on-one situations, it was every third down we're going to show like we're going to rush six, and then we'll actually rush three or four. But you got to guess which three or four. The two defensive ends are probably coming, but you got to figure out where the other guys are coming from. And that's the way – and then they were able to win one-on-one. That gets you to one-on-one battles, and you got to win those. That's the way I think Georgia Tech is going to need to operate if they're going to be successful stopping some of these offenses.
All right, last thing, and I want to say up front, I mean, I've been on the record with Paul Johnson. I think Paul's a really good coach. And he was your coach. Was it 1 year or two seasons? What was it?
I was there the first 4 years with Coach Johnson. I had 1 year with Gailey and then 4 years with Coach.
Okay, great. Well, I'm not meaning to, you know, bang on your coach, but Texas school with $2 billion in the endowment. I know you can't spend that on football. It's just a measuring stick. There are people who want to give money. Roddy, I think more people want to give more money now.
I think there's an excitement around the program that really had people and it came at the right time. It came at a time where college football had changed tangibly. You could see that, hey, branding matters. The facilities matter. And the people that had been fighting it for a long time, and Tech had because it had some financial issues, really had to reconcile that. So, yeah, there is an excitement. But I'm going to be honest with you, Chuck. This is year three for Jeff Collins, and people are going to want to see an explosive high-tempo offense. So they're going to want to see a shutdown defense if you don't get the wins. Now, if you win seven games, you don't have to worry about any of that stuff. But if not, then you got to show progress to continue the goodwill. Now, I'm not saying people are going to turn on Coach Collins by any means, and I think he's doing a good job. But the schedule's really tough. And the league has gotten better, so you have to show tangible improvement in terms of scoring, in terms of high tempo, in terms of stars, in terms of defense, for people to really continue to open up the pocketbooks like they are.
All right, are you going to catch a pass or something tomorrow night? Like, are you going to get involved as the famous alumni?
I am not. We're actually doing the game remote.
Okay. I was going to ask you.
I may pull out some tech stuff from my background, but that's about it.
All right. We'll talk to you soon, man. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Chuck.
All right. Roddy Jones. Again, get him on Twitter at RoddyJones20. It's always difficult when you ask somebody, like in that case, his coach. I was talking to Jay Billis about a month ago. And we've had Jay on this show. And I said in the moment, like when we were in, I was like, all right, you hear that phrase, smartest guy in the room? I was like, this next guest, he probably is the smartest guy in most rooms. And so I asked him something about basically all of his former teammates that he's loved for 40 years almost. I think there were 10 or 11 or 12 maybe former Coach K players who were head coaches in college basketball this past year. And so we're talking to Jay on the first day of the tournament, and I was like, you know, some of these guys hadn't put together very good resumes. You know, Duke's going to be looking for a coach. And he's like, yeah, Tommy Amherst has got more Ivy League championships than any coach in Ivy League history. And he named one other guy, and I was like, yes, I picked the two wrong ones. And, like, I looked – like, literally every other one of them had a losing record this year. Every other one – and one of them got fired. I think Woj got fired the next day at Marquette. But I also didn't – when Jay kind of – I was like, I ain't pushing back. I just crapped on his friends. Like, I'm asking about Tommy Amaker, and I'm asking about Hurley and McCaffrey and Woj and Quinn Snyder. He brought up Quinn Snyder. I was like, oh, yeah, they have the best record in the West. That's who – it was Quinn Snyder and Tommy Amaker. And what I didn't say in response, he's like, he won at Missouri. I was like, well, no, he cheated at Missouri. But the point was I took shots at his friends. I was asking a sports question, and I was like, all right, yeah, that's fine. I get the response. So I don't really care about that. It's just kind of how it goes. All right, we're going to break. We're going to come back. Wrap up next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
It's always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
I think if OU started a game today, Eric Gray would be their starter at running back. I think
wow.
When the season starts in September, Eric Gray is going to be the starting running back. And I think at the end of the season, Eric Gray is going to be the leading rusher.
Kennedy Brooks has not been acquitting himself this spring. It is the Chuck Oliver Show. And that was Tyler McComas, and he talks sports on 1400 out yonder in Norman, Oklahoma. And he's talking about the running back position. OU has a spring game on Saturday. Talking about the running back position and the transfer of last year's leading rusher for the Tennessee Volunteers And Eric Gray is a good-looking, thick kid, about 210 pounds or so. Not 6 feet, but you don't want that. About perfect height for a running back, 5'10 or so, 5'11. He's just really, really well put together. And he was part of a two-headed monster for the most part last year, two years ago with Chandler and Jordan. And like I said, he's just a tough kid, and I really, really am a big fan of his. Kennedy Brooks, I thought last year, I understood the transfer route. It was a Trey Sermon, right, to go compete with Master Teague up at Ohio State. I understood the transfer because I thought Kennedy Brooks is probably one of the top 20 running backs in America. And we've got somebody who he covers. I'm going to put it this way. I've got options because I cover 130 college football teams. If I were on in Miami, I've got options, college, pro, whatever. You know, I can cover high life if I want. He's on in Norman, Oklahoma. Brother's talking Sooner football every single day. All right, that's what he's going to do. So, Kennedy Brooks, I mean, it sounds like it's just a huge missed opportunity coming off a season where he opted out. And so, a guy that I looked at as a year ago, good enough to have Trey Sermon fly the coop, he is not really set himself up for a fine August on the 2021 season. In fact, if he slips to third on the depth chart, I mean, it's like if you're in high school and you're a senior and you got to wrestle JV or play, you know, JV, but you just don't do it. So I'd reckoning ahead, you could be like a Charleston Rambo, former four-star or five-star who hits the transfer portal. So I appreciate him coming on. That's going to be my closing argument brought by the law offices of Alexander, Shannara, and Associates. No matter where you are in the Deep South, it could be Tennessee, Georgia, Florida, Alabama, wherever. If you need legal expertise, you need Alexander, Shannara, and Associates.
You know, I just saw a note before preparing for today's show that really stood out to me because it goes back to something that, for the second day in a row, I'm going to bring up the philosophies of Chris Landry on this show of don't fall in love with the helmet, fall in love with the player. And what he means by that is that when it comes to draft time, fans of, let's just say you're a fan of the Dallas Cowboys, and the Dallas Cowboys take a guy from, New Mexico State.
All right.
They take a player from New Mexico State, and people say, New Mexico State? Are you kidding me? I mean, have you seen the way this team has played the last few years? They're lucky they even have a program. And the point is, look at the player, not where they came from, as opposed to maybe at that time, there could have been a guy on the board from Texas or from Alabama or from Florida that everybody thought should be taken. And Chuck, I think that there is something here that proves the point. I'm not saying that Boston College is this program, but Pick Six Previews on Twitter a couple of days ago brought this up. Since the year 2000, Boston College has produced more first-round picks than, and this is a pretty decent-sized list right here, Oregon, that's a surprise. UCLA, still the same deal. Nebraska, South Carolina, Virginia Tech, on the same list right there. Stanford, Oklahoma State, Arkansas, Mississippi State, and Michigan State. They even go a little bit further there. From the year 2000, all of those schools that they just mentioned right there, top 30 recruiters, they end the tweet with player development is so crucial. And that's exactly the whole point of everything, is that everybody falls in love with what the recruiting rankings are and how great things are on signing day. And, oh, coach, well, you had the number one recruiting class. Why aren't you winning? A lot of cases, why aren't you winning? It comes down to two things, coaching and development. I'm not saying that they have bad coaches at those schools, and I'm not saying that the greatest developers and the greatest coaches are at Boston College, but if nothing else, they've got one or two of them. I mean, a name that I think could probably throw in there to prove the point right now is a name that some people are talking about, but not everybody is talking about when it comes to the draft right now, Carlos Basham out of Wake Forest. People that know college football know that Dave Clawson and his staff probably do have some good coaches there. But aside from that, name brand, they are not.
There's the phrase, recruit the perimeter, coach the lines. And if you look at Boston College, do you know what the number of first-round picks they had? Do you know what the number is? It's Anthony Costanzo. It is B.J. Raji. I mean, it's Lunsford, the guard who went in first round a couple of years ago. It's going to be Keekly, a linebacker. It's going to be offensive linemen, defensive linemen, front seven guys. Those are the guys that you coach up, that phrase we all like to use. I don't think Boston College put a lot of first-round wide receivers or corners in the NFL. They put the tough guys that show up, and you coach them. Again, recruit the perimeter, coach the lines. And you just picked an example there. That's a great example of it. Dan, good job there. David, appreciate your contributions to the program. Kept us on the air, no FCC fines. Those are the goals. Wraps it up on a Thursday, folks. 22 hours. I will recharge those batteries. Be back this time tomorrow with more college football conversation right here on Chuck Oliver Show.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.